You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Tuesday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato. As always, pleased to be your host here on this very show as we learn all about what is going on with the Los Angeles Kings. And we have got some new players to learn about today. On today's show, we're talking with Justin Morissette, who is a alumni of the Locked On family, formerly our Locked On Canucks host us, so he is going to tell us a little bit about Alex Edler, who signed with the Kings in free agency after spending his entire career in Vancouver. We're going to learn a little bit about him later this week, just so you guys all know what is coming. Later this week, we're going to talk a little bit about Brandt Clark and learn about the Barrie Colts and what is going on up there with him and what we have to look forward to from Brandt Clark when he inevitably joins the Kings. That is coming up later this week. We also, as we are entering into the offseason, that means that our shows slow down just a little bit. We're going to be moving to a three-day-a-week schedule here on the show. Usually you can, most weeks, hear me 5 days of the week talking all about the Los Angeles Kings, but we're going to be going to three for the next month, 2 months-ish. So as content slows down and the news factory stops churning out hockey news every day of the week, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break. Well, I wish I could tell you with certainty which days of the week this show is going to be regularly coming out on. What I can tell you is my life is usually a little bit too much of a mess to be able to predict that. So we're going to do our best and hope for something like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, or something, but you're just going to have to go with this one with me, and we'll get into a schedule, get into a groove regularly, hopefully at some point in time. But all because you're not going to be hearing from me 5 days a week doesn't mean that you won't be hearing from me. And of course, if there is big Kings news that goes down, if somehow, I don't know, like we blink and trade like a sixth round pick for Jack Eichel or something, there will absolutely be a podcast episode looking at that. So don't worry, any Kings news that happens, you will still hear all about on this very show. But for right now, let's learn all about Alex Edler and what he can contribute to the Kings as he comes in as a veteran defenseman. Well, we have introduced you to Phil Deneau, the Kings' newest center that they went out and made a splash for in free agency, but that isn't the only signing that they have made, because they have added some veteran presence on their defense by signing Alex Edler from the Vancouver Canucks. He spent his entire career there, so yes, he is a little bit older, quote unquote. And to get an idea of what kind of player he is today, as opposed to maybe the younger version of him that Kings fans might be familiar with from, you know, some playoff series past many years ago, I've got Justin Morissette, who is the former host of Locked On Canucks and my previous partner in crime on Locked On NHL. And now he's just talking sports all sorts of other places. And he's been gracious enough to jump back on and tell me all about our newest defenseman. So, Justin, what are we in for with Alex Edler?
I may not be a Locked On host any longer, Sarah, but I always have time to talk to you. So it's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I was prepared to come in here and talk about, like, I would imagine that the mental image that a lot of LA fans have of Alex Edler is maybe, for example, the 2012 series, where he was like one of the more physically engaged members of that Canucks team. I certainly remember a number of big hits going back and forth between him and Dustin Brown back in that series. And while you're not getting that guy today, that physical element is still a part of his game. He's just a lot more choosy in terms of when he uses it, because his wheels have really fallen off. He's 36 years old. He's going to turn 37 before this next season is over. And when you are in that age range, I think it's absurd to think that a guy who was drafted 17 years ago is still going to have the same sort of skating and mobility that he did in the prime of his career. And that's sort of been the problem with Edler in Vancouver recently, is that his skating's just not there anymore. He gets walked by guys. I wouldn't say turnstiled necessarily, because I do think he does a pretty good job positionally of helping himself. But you just notice it in terms of like races and puck chases. He doesn't have the foot speed that he used to do. Having said that, he's still a very smart player. He still has a very, great mind for the game. And when you have a decor that is as young as the Kings have, I do think it is a kind of a smart signing to bring in a guy like that to shoulder some of the load. I mean, he's kind of the typical Swede, I guess, in that he's not the most talkative guy. He's a very silent, stoic sort, but he also strikes me as the kind of guy who is so spare with his words that when he does speak up, people really do listen. And maybe that's just me, reading into kind of his very brief responses in all sorts of media interactions. He's really one of the worst quotes you could ever ask for as a media person. He is someone who was routinely trotted out after the worst losses that the Canucks would suffer. And there were a number of just absolutely horrible losses in this past abysmal COVID season. You could tell that they were basically punting on media availability when the guy being sent out to answer stuff is Alex Edler, because journalists are just going to keep their hands down. They know what they're going to get from him off the ice. And you know what you're going to get from him on the ice now, too, which is, a shell of what he used to be, mm-hmm. but kind of still maybe a useful player in the right depth position.
More coming up right after this. First, though, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. It doesn't matter what sport it is you're into. Baseball's in full swing. Hockey's gearing up for next year. We've got basketball and football getting ready for their seasons. There's always some sort of fighting going on. Whatever it is, you can get all the latest news, odds, and information all on betonline.ag. So head on over to the website on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the news, get information on sign-up bonuses, contests, and much more. So get into the game. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
In looking at the Kings' defense, as I've talked about before on the show, suddenly they have way too many of them. So that's going to be really curious to see what happens. But it seems a little bit like they're trying to get with Alex Edler what they thought maybe they could have gotten when they traded for Olimata a couple of seasons ago of defensemen. Obviously, there's a big age gap difference between them, but Mata has also been around the game for a long time, isn't the player that he was when he broke onto the scene. But they thought, oh, maybe we can get someone who, veteran presence, he still thinks the game well. No, he was pretty terrible and was scratched a whole lot. And they have pretty similar cap hits, so I'm going to be really curious to see, like, if they manage to offload Olimata, because they sort of fulfill the same role of older player, not very fast, still okay at the thinking part of the game, but not necessarily the foot speed to keep up with guys. They also both play the left side, so I think you can only have one of them. And one of them seems a little extraneous at this point. Especially on the left side, the Kings are a lot younger. They have Mikey Anderson, who this will be his second year in the league. He basically jumped up and just basically stole the top pairing minutes with Drew Doughty. And Doughty just talks about how much he loves playing with this kid. And then there's Tobias Bjornfoot, who's still very young. He's also Swedish as well. So I feel like there's a lot of young Swedes on the team and in the system that Edler can also be sort of a back home mentor too as well. And I think that might be a consideration that they had too. So a lot of their left side is very young as well. So I can see him, taking on minutes that they don't really want to give to a kid yet who isn't quite ready to take on that kind of role.
Yeah. I mean, in Vancouver right now, we are genuinely, having a debate, at least, privately among me and some of my other friends in media, as to whether or not a 30-year-old Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who the Canucks have just acquired to fill Edler's role here mm-hmm. going forward, is going to be up to the task to provide even what a 36-year-old Alex Edler was able to provide. Mm-hmm. And there is some question about that, honestly, which is, I think kind of more an indictment of how far Ekman-Larsson has fallen, more so than a real positive spin on what Edler can do. But the fact that we're having that conversation, I think, does show that this is a guy who can still be useful in the right role. And certainly, you know, down the lineup, if you're going to put him in a second pairing where he's kind of sheltering a rookie guy on the other side, that has been very effective for him, even in kind of late age. You know, he's played quite a bit, or he did play quite a bit over the last several years with Troy Stetcher in Vancouver. And that was a pairing that really did work quite well, honestly, in matchup roles and as a shutdown pairing. So there is still that utility to his game. Honestly, though, like, when I heard that Edler was getting ready to hit the market, that he was going to test unrestricted free agency for the first time in his career after, you know, being drafted by Vancouver 17 years ago, my first thought was, why is he doing this? Like, why? Just retire, man. Like, you've fallen off so hard. Like, this, I don't want you to embarrass yourself as a player that I love. Like, I don't want you to stick around longer than you're able to, I guess. But also, that's entirely his decision to go out when he wants to go out. And clearly he still has a passion to play. And if he wants to play and there's someone willing to pay him to play, then, you know, all the best to him, I guess. I don't want to be too negative on how he's been the last couple of years, because, like, overall, I just said he was drafted 17 years ago, and he leaves this franchise as the, you know, franchise leader in just about every single defensive category. Is he the greatest overall talent that we've ever seen on the back end here in Vancouver? Probably not. It probably is Quinn Hughes, but it's probably also too early to say that Quinn Hughes is the best defenseman in franchise history when he's still just starting out his career. Alex Edler is the best defenseman that Vancouver has ever had in terms of overall contributions, the length of time that he was able to play at a high level. And I really wonder what sort of influence he's going to be able to have on guys who are taking that jump to the NHL and might be feeling a little bit of, you know, early career jitters, I guess, which is not necessarily out of the ordinary to see in young players. Alex has always been, even going back to his rookie year, like, he, the very first glimpses we got of this guy, you know, all of the, I want to say memes, but I feel like 2006 or whatever it was is like a pre-meme time. You know, we talk about him having ice in his veins and smoking a cigarette on the bench after a shift. He's cool as a cucumber. He's always been that way. And I do think he's going to be able to provide a nice sort of stabilizing presence, certainly mentally, if he's not able to do it on the ice the same way. But also, the real problem in Vancouver that he's had over the last several years, which is a problem for Chris Tanev before he went to Calgary as well, is that this is a team that's just failed to insulate these guys. Yeah, I look back at the last years of the Sedin twins as forwards as well, where, you know, they were falling off. They weren't what they were in their prime years, you know, 5 years previous or what have you. But, you know, people would get mad that they were still the top line players for this team. That's not a failing of them as players. That's a failing of the team to bring in more talented players to surpass them. And I can't say that Edler wanted this, because I don't know what Edler wants. He doesn't speak very much, as I mentioned earlier. What he really feels and believes are a mystery to us. But I would imagine, just like Henrik and Daniel, he wanted to be surpassed. He wanted guys to push him further down the lineup so that he could play that sort of role and be a mentor. And it just didn't happen, you know? Like, Jim Benning has had a lot of failings. I could do an entire, maybe 2-hour podcast where I run over them all with you. But, you know, one of his worst, you know, habits is just a complete inability to identify NHL defensemen. The people that they've traded for and brought in and targeted in the draft and so on, etc., other than Quinn Hughes, have simply not worked out. And it's a huge embarrassment, I think, to the Benning regime that 5 years into, you know, running this team, their top pairing was still Alex Edler and Chris Tanev, two guys who had been here, you know, before this regime arrived, that you're still leaning on well after the fact that they should be your top shutdown pair when both guys should be either second or third pairing defensemen. And if that is the role that he is going to play, I think he does have use there still. And I think, you know, Kings fans are probably going to like this guy. I hope anyways. And if it doesn't work out, ultimately, what, he's making $3.5 million, I think, for one season.
Right.
If that, you're not expecting to contend or even really make the playoffs this year, are you? I don't think so.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work out, who cares? Nothing really lost there.
It's interesting, the point that you made about, you know, Vancouver kind of shoving people into roles that they weren't ready for. And so then, of course, everyone looks bad because they're not, they're playing above where they should be. And I feel like signings like this, and, you know, the Kings also bringing in Phil Deneau from Montreal, like, helps with that and helps keep from pushing a guy like Quentin Byfield into minutes that he shouldn't be playing yet, because he still needs to adjust to the league. And I think that that's an important point to make, because we don't want to end up in that situation of, well, now everyone thinks our prospects are busts because they weren't amazing right out of the gate, because we were like, here, go play against Mark Stone, have fun, bye. And then we get surprised when they're bad. Like, you know, we need players like this to kind of help bridge that gap.
Yeah, and he's a guy where I feel like injuries over the years have kind of sort of hindered the physical element of his game. Mm-hmm. It's still there, certainly, but he doesn't really throw the body with the same, not even reckless abandon, but just the mm-hmm. same frequency that he used to. Partly, I think, out of self-preservation mm-hmm. and not wanting to put himself in those positions. He still does play physical on occasion. I mean, obviously, you can point to this past season, the hit on Zach Hyman that ended his season and had mm-hmm. people in Toronto calling Edler, you know, the dirtiest goon who's ever played the game or whatever. That's so far from the truth. But if you look at that hit, you know, that's a guy whose brain is working faster than his feet are able to at this point. Like, he had the right inclination, just couldn't move his leg to kind of get out of the way of making that a dangerous hit. I don't think there was any dangerous intent there, but that's kind of the story of how he is in general at this point. He, you know, came into the year, I think, sitting on 99 goals in his career as a Canuck and only needed one to hit the century mark. He did not break it. I might be wrong about that. Maybe he scored during the season to get to 99. All I know is he was at 99 for quite a while, and they, like, really were feeding him in the last 2 weeks mm-hmm. of the season to try and get him over that hump. It just didn't happen. He still has a good shot. It's not what it once was, certainly. But, yeah, I mean, I would say just lower your expectations, basically, in terms of what he's going to provide, because I think the major benefit of having this guy around is off-ice things, is locker room things, more so than maybe what he can provide on the ice at this stage.
Well, the Kings are very big on rebuilding their culture, and it seems like he's going to be a pretty big part of that.
We finished today's show with another look at the Vancouver Canucks with Justin Morissette. Before we get back to that, though, let's look at Built Bars, because Built Bars are basically the best-tasting protein bar that's out there on the market. Not only are they healthy for you, but they're delicious, too. They are high in protein, high in fiber, low in sugar, low in carbs, and they come in a bunch of amazing flavors, including raspberry, double chocolate, and my own personal favorite, cookies and cream. The greatest news is, if you're super indecisive, you can go and try a mixed box, which will give you a chance to try all of the different Built Bar flavors that are out there, so you can pick your own new favorite Built Bar. You can go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
While I have you here, before I let you go, what do things look like for the Canucks with, you know, whatever they've done in free agency? I know they bought out Braden Holtby. What's the picture other than just, like, hysterical laughing?
Oh, man. You know, like, it is really funny, obviously, to watch them spend the day before free agency opened this year trying to completely undo all the moves they made in free agency last year. as far as, like, what were their three signature moves last year? They decided to keep Jake Virtanen over mm-hmm. Troy Stetcher. They signed Braden Holtby, and they traded a third-round pick for Nate Schmidt. What were their three big moves ahead of free agency this year? They bought out Jake Virtanen. They bought out Braden Holtby, and they traded Nate Schmidt for a third round pick. They literally just reversed everything that they did in free agency. And so that's obviously very funny. I do feel like, though, as much as it is a huge risk, an enormous risk that personally I am deeply not comfortable making, taking on that poison pill OEL contract. Mm-hmm. And trading the ninth overall pick in that exchange as well to get out from under a lot of expiring contracts that have been onerous for the team, but would have ended at the end of this coming season. You know, clearly you've kicked the can down the road on that by having to carry $7.2 million of OEL for the next 6 years, which, good grief. You know, we had to wait 6 years for this Louis Erickson contract to expire. And let me tell you, in hockey, in life, anywhere, 6 years is a very long time. Like, it is going to be real bad down the line, I would imagine. But I think the one thing that gets overlooked in that deal is that, yes, you gave up the ninth overall. And yes, OEL is a huge risk and might be worse than 36-year-old Alex Edler at this stage in his career because of knee injuries and so on, et cetera. Connor Garland is so overlooked as an element of that trade. That player alone is worth the ninth overall pick. The Canucks have really basically tuned themselves into an 80s-style Oilers team. I think they have one of the best forward groups in the Western Conference. They have one of the best goalie tandems in the league, and their defense might be the worst in the NHL, honestly. So... it's going to be a wild season. There's going to be a lot of problems with this team, but the hope is that they're going to be able to outscore them. And at the very least, it should be a fun year after what I will tell you was just agonizing torture to try and follow and cover this team during the 2021 season, which is a big reason why I'm no longer the host of Locked On Canucks. I just couldn't do it. I tapped out.
Right, but it's just day after day of being like beat down, and I, as someone who has yet to cover actual meaningful hockey in my tenure here at the podcast, some of us who have not seen the playoffs since the network started, we're counting up exactly how many hockey games we've covered versus how many shows we've done, and it's a pretty sad number. So I definitely know that feeling of wow.
Well, it's one thing for the misery to just be on the ice too, but when you compound it with like the team's COVID situation, and I don't really want to get into it, but the Jake Virtanen saga, it's just been just been a really horrible stretch here for hockey in Vancouver. And if this season is at least high scoring and fun, and you know Pettersson can stay healthy, and that top six really kind of gels together as you know, essentially they've brought in Garland to replace Tyler Toffoli, which feels silly to say you're replacing a guy who only ever played 20 games. but he really did bring something to the team while he was here. I'm sure the fans in LA know quite a bit about what that is that he brings. And, you know, I'm excited to see a guy who can step in and fill that role, because when the Canucks punted on really the entire season with how they handled free agency last season, everybody knew it was going to be bad right from the first day of free agency. And to at least have some degree of hope that this could be an entertaining product, even if it's not a good one, it's, you know, at least feels hopeful heading into next year, whereas last year was, you know, doom and gloom essentially right from the beginning.
Well, it's going to be an interesting Pacific Division, and you've already got your built-in across the border rivals now with Seattle. So there's at least going to be some fun fireworks, I think, to watch.
Well, I'm just excited to face some teams from below the border. You know, as much as this all divisional season was supposed to be so fun, you get just sick of seeing the same teams 10 times.
You don't want to play like the Jets like 8-10 times again.
They're so entertaining, obviously. The Winnipeg brand of hockey. He just lights people's passion ablaze. So it's baffling as to why I wouldn't want more of that.
Yeah, or you know, Tyler Toffoli's like revenge games all year round. Like shocking that you wouldn't be into that.
That actually was the most entertaining storyline of the entire season, even from a Canucks perspective, just being so excited to watch this guy gleefully roast the team that didn't even make him an offer. You could see him being like, he had a game where he had two goals and really wanted the hat trick goal and didn't get it. And he was pissed. And the Habs won like 7-3. And he was so angry. And, you know, you love that. That's the competitive spirit. That's why I went to the cup final.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. Still providing entertainment, even though he's not a king anymore.
He's our boy too, a little bit too, up here in Vancouver, even though we had him for a much shorter time. He made an impact for sure.
He just inspires that in people. Well, thank you for shedding some light on our newest, oldest defenseman with Alex Edler joining the team, and also giving a little bit of a preview as to what's happening with the Canucks this season. For anyone who wants to hear from you or learn about whatever it is that you're up to these days, where can people find you online?
I'm on Twitter at Justin Morris. That's M-O-R-I-S, 1-R-1-S. And I am, you know, currently as working as a producer and sports desk anchor for Sportsnet 650 and News 1130 in Vancouver. And might have some pod projects percolating at the moment. But in the meantime, I am just kind of focusing on my own health and trying to get this leg back in working order. So taking a little break from the pod game for a bit, but I promise you I will be back when the hockey season starts again. And hopefully, Sarah, that means that you and I can talk again as well. So looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining. Take care of yourself. And can't wait to talk again about whatever's going on up in there in Vancouver, because it's going to be great.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, too. Thanks.
That is it for today. Thank you so much to Justin for joining me. You'll probably be hearing from him later on in the offseason as we get a little closer to hockey starting and take a look at what's going on with each of the teams in the league, or at least all of the teams in the Pacific Division. We'll find out. But again, thanks to Justin for sharing his thoughts on today's show. That is it for today. Until next time, you can make sure you follow me on Twitter at @RightSaidSarah. The show's on Twitter at @LockedOnLAKings. Go give me a follow. I'm always tweeting out prospect news and stuff like that will keep you entertained as we wait for hockey to come back with the professional level. Make sure you're following or subscribe to this show in your favorite podcast app of choice. And of course, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please go and leave a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app it is you use to listen to the show. Go leave a 5-star rating and tell people how much you're enjoying this show. So go do that, and then make sure you come back tomorrow and a couple more days this week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.